If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 280 for March 9th, 2021. Man, hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Boop Show. We talk about indie video games here, and we love it, and that's why you like it, I hope.
I love it.
Welcome back to the show. It's good to have you all here. And Brian, it's good to have you here. Something
no,
happened
Scott.
To the music, and I don't know why. Anyway, well, it's good to have you here. It's Brian Dunaway over there. I'm Scott Johnson, and we're back at it. How
one
is everybody?
One more time with that music.
Yeah, one more time. Let's get that music back. I think I hit escape when I didn't mean to. What are you going to do? So I'm really excited about this week because I think I found my front runner for 2021 Game of the Year.
Ooh, them some big words.
It is some very big words, but I'm telling you, nothing has held me quite this grippy this year. And so we're early. It's only March. You know, we got time in the year 2021, but it feels significant, this game that I'm playing, which we'll get to in a minute.
I already know my game of the year.
Yeah. What's that?
So far.
What is it?
Oh,
you want to tell me?
It's the Valheim. I'm 30 hours into Valheim.
Oh, my Lord. You really like the Valheim then.
I can't stop. In 38, you think people like psh, plenty of people are like, oh, I have 120 hours in on Valheim. Psh, get out of here.
What did you say hours. last week? You said Valheim. Are we back? We're now Valheim.
Well, yeah. Valheim was just to be, you know, annoying. But Valheim is actually how you say it. At least that's the way I've been told
now,
and corrected many times.
Keep in mind here, this only holds right now until Shipbreaker comes out in out of early access. So none of the games I call Game of the Year are early access games, because I know what that means. Early access means I may not see it till the next year or whatever. So I hold judgment. There are
it's
a couple
already
in the
been a tough year. We've already had Little Nightmares 2, which the chat room is reminding me. And Valheim, it's only March.
Yeah, I'm not putting that on my best list. There's too many weird teachers with long necks in that game. Not my best list of games. Too scary. Can't do it. Scary games don't make my game of the year. And I know it's early. Fastidious is right. You don't normally at this time of the process start talking about what game is your game of the year. I get it. We got a lot left to do, but also we don't kind of, this is a weird year. A lot of the games that were under development primarily before the pandemic have either come out or are still coming out slowly, but we're almost getting to the end of that. And now we're in this cycle where a lot of new content built during the pandemic. When does that stuff hit? And from a AAA standpoint, later than you expect. From an indie standpoint, maybe not so bad. Probably get it sooner, I guess.
They're rolling it out, man. It's odd because the pandemic has created this desire for more game. It's like, more game, please. More game.
More game.
And the indies are going, hey, we're fast and agile because we're small and we can put this thing in early access and move it on out the door.
Yeah. That's true. So there's a lot of that going on. Valheim, of course, one of those. That might be your game of the year, but it's still in early access. So can it be? Can it be?
That's a good question. We talked about this last year. Do we consider a early access game of the year? There's so many indie games in early access and they stay there for 5 and 6 years.
Some of them do. Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Valheim better not do that. They're having too much money now to do that. They got to kick that boy out the front door. Let's go.
That's right.
Let's go.
It's done. There. Play the game.
Play the game. We also had a brief conversation before the show about gaming monitors, PC monitors. And I had mentioned that I've really liked every LG I've owned for both work stuff and game stuff. And you seemed hesitant on the LG. Do you want to explain why that is? What is it about LG that you don't get along with?
Well, not LG's fault, really. The two or three LG monitors I've had, I think every time I learned something. LG has taught me something at least three times in my purchases and returns.
Okay.
My most recent purchase was a misunderstanding of how that 240 hertz would look and the low millisecond refresh rate. And I thought it would look a certain way. I got it, and then I found out it was not the kind of panel I wanted because it looked washed out, because it was really designed for first-person shooter gaming, and I'm more of an indie casual kind of, you know, roguelike RPG kind of gamer, and I like my colors robust. Yeah. And not until I bought the wrong monitor, my fault, and got it home and went, this looks washed out. I don't care for this. No, sir.
Yeah.
Taking it back.
Well, I'm glad they took it back. That's good. But I'm with you. I want richer color. I don't want washed out blacks as best I can handle it. I know that OLED is not quite ready for PC gaming prime time because the burn in is a real issue with OLED, and PCs are notorious for sitting on the same screen for a long time. And want a little trash bin just sitting up there forever permanently on your screen, even when it's turned off. So I hope they get that technology better, because I can tell you from a TV standpoint, my OLED TV, also LG.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Freaking mind-blowingly good looking. And I want more of that on the PC side of things. We're certainly headed there, and there are lots of good monitors out there, but LED as a general rule has got that backlight issue.
Yeah.
And you miss out on stuff. You wash stuff out sometimes.
Yeah. And I've ended up settling with Samsung many times because of the price point, and it's the price point for the quality Samsung has delivered for me in my personal preferences in taste.
Well, good. We both like Korean-made manufacturers. Look at us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, like I said, LG's fine. I just haven't had the luck or the research.
I bought a BenQ as a backup monitor. Long story. It's all pre-show.
A Bank.
Yeah, Bank. Is that what they say? Is it BenQ? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's BenQ, but I'm going to call it Bank.
Well, I think the North makes those. The North Koreans make that.
The North Koreans. Yeah. Is that who makes the BenQ?
No, I have no idea who makes it. I shouldn't say that. I don't know who makes it. I think they're Chinese. They're fine. They're just less expensive, and you kind of get what you pay for. But if you're just needing a utilitarian backup secondary monitor, you could do a lot worse.
And the price is always right. They sell that stuff cheap.
But I'll tell you what. You get a 100 or 240 hertz freaking G-Sync-based monitor for your PC side of stuff. That's some silky, buttery, smooth business, dude.
So smooth.
Sexy. Also, I did something else on my PC this week I didn't plan on doing. There was a kind of a flash sale, and I don't even remember the name of the site that did it. I hope it was legit. Well, I know it was legit because I got the code, but I hope it wasn't like one of those skeevy sites where you get Steam codes you're not supposed to get or whatever. It's hard to say. But there was a thing on Twitter. I was following one of these accounts that always tells you about deals or whatever, and somebody had, for that day only, Horizon Zero Dawn on Steam, or a Steam code for Horizon Zero Dawn, the much ballyhooed PlayStation original, now on PC, and had a kind of a rough launch, so they've had patches and other stuff, and I've kind of let it sit there, and I'm like, I'm not sure I'm ready to play that again. But this thing popped for like $24. I was like, what? Let's do that. So I did that, and I've been deep
Thanks
into
Thanks for letting
that.
Your buddy know.
Well, I should have. Why didn't I tell you? I don't know why I didn't tell you.
You just told me it's good. It's good.
I'm annoyed that I didn't tell you. But
you paid how much for it?
$24. Cheap. 23 something.
Okay. You're just talking about Horizon, not
Horizon Zero Dawn. That's the game. Horizon Zero Dawn. That's the full name of that game. And you're the lady, you're Aloy, and you're running around the world. It's post-apocalyptic, but you're acting, everybody, all the people in it act like they're primitives. Because they don't know any better, but it's really us who ruin the world and all the machines and everything. And the machines have taken on a life of their own. And if you've never seen this game, you're all weird if you haven't seen it. But anyway, I loved it on PlayStation, but I didn't really like the 30 frames per second. I didn't like what I felt like was not the best performing at the time version of that game. This runs silky smooth for me at, like I said, 240 hertz. And so I'm getting like, I don't know, more than 60 frames per second. I don't know what I'm getting, 120 or whatever. It's imperceptible for me, except it just feels really smooth. Anyway, I'm playing that again, and I'm already farther than I was the first time on PlayStation. And I got to say, that is a badass game. That game freaking rocks. The story's great. The world is great. The world building is great. What a good time to spend for $24 or less. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. I really like it a lot.
And you don't know the name, but was it Keen Shop? Was that it?
Keen Shop? No, yeah. It was. I'll tell you. Let's do this.
Is it Fanatical?
What would we call this? Community service to let people know what we did here.
Yes.
So Horizon Zero Dawn was purchased through Aniba. Aniba. See what I mean? You don't know that name, do you?
I don't know that one. Now I'm curious.
Yep. It's Aniba. It's spelled E-N-E-B-A. So Aniba .com. And they had the deal. So plus tax, I ended up paying like whatever, $27 or whatever it is with tax. And it was really simple. And they just gave me a key and it used PayPal and I was done. And it was awesome. And I have the game and I'm playing it.
And now my bank account's been drained. And hey, whatever, man.
And now I'm being held hostage and told. But apparently these guys, like they were advertised on like Engadget or something. So it's not like I was like.
Yeah, there's. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's fine. I use a couple myself that I usually can tell who's who and what's what. And I mean, there's a lot of ways to get game codes. I mean, you could have purchased a video game card. It could have come with a game code. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways that people offload these keys that are legitimate that maybe would not make the distributor exactly happy, but really probably within legal rights, I would say.
Must be. For example, right. Risk of Rain 2, which I think I paid $29 for or whatever on Steam, you can get currently for $8.99. No Man's Sky 14. What's this one? See, Dead by Daylight, Steam Key, $5.99. Like, pretty low stuff, generally speaking. $1.50 for Dirt 3. That's an old Dirt game, but still.
$1.50. Now, yeah. Like, if you like stuff like Dirt and those kind of games, Fanatical is a great place. And they actually do deals with devs and publishers. So they get those keys, kind of like Humble Bundle.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Oh, you know what it is? Sorry, I just noticed this is a UK site. But they took dollars, so, you know, it was fun.
Yeah, they took dollars. It's like they have some kind of processing machine that can take American currency and
oh, here's what you can do. Else. You can change it to whatever you want. So we're going to do that. U.S. dollars. All right. The website has a setting, but normally it defaults to U.K., so I'm sure these guys in the U.K. Okay, so this makes sense. You got some of these prices are all right.
Some like, of these prices, though.
Some of these are great. Some of them not so good. But, yeah, they appear to be a legit thing. And they claim to be partners with Team 17 and Konami and a bunch of other stuff. So
there you go.
Anyway, what I'm saying is keep your eye out for good deals because it netted me a copy of Horizon Zero Dawn. And that game is awesome. And I'm really enjoying playing it.
A couple places I trust is places like you just said. There's a website called cdkeys.com that usually have valid keys. I would stay away from like Windows operating system and stuff. But I've seen plenty of gaming codes. G2A is also a place, and now I have to try this Aniba.
Yeah, it sounds like something your doctor would give you. Aniba.
Oh, give me some Aniba.
Yeah, how you feeling? I'm all right. Well, we may have to do a little procedure called the Aniba. Oh, what does that involve? A tube in your peen.
Tubes.
Yeah, no tube in my peen. Thank you very much.
No, thanks.
Anyway, I hope that helped with some monitor ideas. I like LG. Brian likes Samsung. I think you can probably not go wrong with either. They both make pretty nice products.
Pretty good.
And if you're on the budget, this BenQ or Banker, or however you want to say it, was a pretty good value.
I didn't capitalize that Q, so I'm pretty sure it's BenQ, like supposed to be separated, but Bink is more fun to say.
It is more fun to say. Not as fun to say as this. I'm going to say a word you're going to hear a lot from me, and you're going to be sick of me saying it. I picked up a game, and I really liked it to the point of embarrassment. I'm so into this game. The game is called Loop Hero, and this was put out by a developer named Four Quarters. I'd never heard of them before, but I have heard of the publisher, Devolver Digital. They make, as far as I'm concerned, they don't usually put out much that isn't pretty great.
Correct.
It's kind of their thing. They're a little edgy and weird and whatever. They're fine, but they tend to publish games that interest me, and they're always off, not always, but often in a cool retro style that is more than just being retro. They really lean into this game, for example, feeling like it could have been on your NES, like straight up the music, everything. And it's not just like fake 8-bit. It's like real 8-bit looking business. And
oh, can you give us some of the audio? Did you get some audio for that?
I did. I'll play some of this actually right now. Here's Loop Hero. Just some sounds from it. This is just basic combat stuff. Here you go. Yeah. I mean, that stuff is so.
That is like NES era. That is of that time, for sure.
And all these sound effects. There's more coming. Here's one. Just super crunchy, and you know all that stuff. Anyway, I should tell you what the game is. The game is called Loop Hero. Loop Hero. And I know a few of you have probably heard of it. I realize as I'm saying this that there's a very good chance that a bunch of you have already been bitten by the bug as well, and that you already picked it up. Now, at first glance, if you look at it, you'll see a couple things. First, on Steam, you'll see overwhelmingly positive reviews.
What?
Yeah, very popular or well thought of. And that'll be number one. Number two, you'll notice that it looks on some of the screenshots like there's maybe cards involved. So is this like a deck builder? Is it like a roguelike deck builder? Is it, what is this? Is this Slay the Spire with a new style? Like, what are we even doing here? You would be wrong in all of those assumptions. It's not that at all. Here's what it is. I mean, it's roguelikey, I guess, but in a way that doesn't feel like everyone else is doing. It doesn't feel like yet another Dead Cells or another Hades or another of the more, you know, current ones. It's not just Rogue Legacy again. That's not how this game works. The roguelike elements of it are, I'll get to in a minute, but basically you start this game out. We're looking at video right now of a lot of tutorial happening, but once you've been through some of that early tutorial, you just go. There's not a lot of dialogue to dig through or anything, so don't let that stuff scare you. The first time you encounter a certain enemy, you might have a dialogue with them, but then never again. You'll never talk to them again. Yeah. All right. It's called Loop Hero for this reason. And this very small level is trying to show that on this video, but you have a loop and it's random. The tutorial level may not be, just to, you know, teach people, but it's a loop that is normally, when you get out there, a big random one. It's called an expedition. I'll skip ahead a little bit to one so you can see it better. And this expedition has a camp in it, a little couple of tents and a little fire. You see it on there on the screen?
And right. It looks like a racetrack, like a dirt racetrack.
Yeah.
It goes round and round.
Yeah, kind of like that. And that little white dude there, the little crusty white dude, is you moving around.
that little not even 8-bit. What is he like? 2-bit?
2-bit.
What is that guy?
He's a 2-bit loser, this guy.
Right. 2-bit loser. There you go.
Anyway, he's trucking around this thing, which is constantly pausing and unpausing. But you control that, like how you want to pause it or not pause it. With either a right click or you can hit your keyboard space bar.
Adventure or planning mode, it looks like. There's only two modes.
Yeah, but they're not. Neither one require. Like, planning mode sounds scary. Like, oh, I got to, you know, like it might be.
Strategize.
Yeah, like tower defense or some BS. It's not like that at all. There's none of that. So basically, good. This is the way it works. You're going around in this loop. And each loop that you get through, you get back to camp and you get healed for a certain portion of your health that you lost.
When you pass go, you collect $200.
Basically, yeah. It's a little bit like a board game, weirdly. But each square, these little slimes he's fighting, these are randomly placed there with each loop. So after you finish a loop, a new set of slimes will appear, and they will appear in different places. It's never the same place. Sometimes there's two of them on a hex or on a square, and sometimes there's less. When you fight these creatures in the first couple of loops, they drop potentially a couple of things, and this is very random. It's very Diablo-like. They drop either gear and loot or cards or both. They could give you a little bit of both. The cards vary. They can be things that you can place on the trail, like I want to put a skeleton graveyard on the trail. And now you have this skeleton graveyard where you are going to fight skeletons with each new loop, or basically there's a day-night cycle as well. And I think it's like once a day, a new skeleton appears in the graveyard or something like that. That's just the graveyard card. There's many other cards. I'll focus on that one for a second. When you put that one down, which he has done here, that's that little corner thing he's walking through right there. There's not a skeleton at the time, but it also gives him some resources when he passes through there. So whether there's something to fight or not, those resources get chucked into your bag. Those are important. And I'll get to that in a minute. as he goes around and fights stuff, and as he does new loops, right now he's only on the second loop on the video we're looking at. People at home, I apologize, you can't see this, but...
Now, how do you know that he's on a second loop? Oh, it says top, on the right-hand side.
Yeah, enemy loop level. So second loop means second level. Everybody you fight's a little harder. They're going to hit you harder and be a little harder to kill. But they're also dropping better loot and better cards. So you're taking the new shield that guy dropped and you're equipping it. So no longer do you have a level one shield. You have a level three shield that maybe has some specs on it. Plus two to vampirism or plus three to area attack or whatever. Think of Diablo.
Are there vampires in this game?
Oh yeah, hell yeah. So again, think Diablo when it comes to loot. That's a lot of what they're doing here. The one difference is there are three classes. I'll get to that in a minute. But you start with the warrior. You have to unlock the other two. The trick of the way that the loot works is once you've gotten a new drop and you're like, boy, I really like that sword better than the current thing I have equipped. The second you drag that up there and put it on top of your old sword, the old one disappears. You don't get to keep it. It's gone. So you got to make those decisions. You know, they're not super hard, but you got to make decisions. You got to say, well, this ring is only level three and I already have a level four ring, but the level three ring gives me 2.5 to health regeneration every second. That may
all the
help
while
me
your
pinch.
Little dude is looping around the loop.
Right. And when you stop to fight, he's not still looping. He fights. Right. When you go check your loot. He's not moving. He's holding still till you're done. You decide when he moves again. And then he's off to the next thing. With every loop, more and more creatures end up on the battlefield, including ones you've put there. So I mentioned the grove, or I didn't mention the grove, but I mentioned the graveyard. There's also the grove. He's right now fighting these two rat dogs and a blob on the grove.
Rat dogs.
That grove specifically spawns those rat dogs. And they're great.
Son of a rat dog.
Those are great because they drop lots of loot. So you actually put that there, though. That's a card you played to say, yep, add me some enemies here. Because you want to build up, you know, your fights so that you're getting good stuff per loop. But you're also trying to do it without overwhelming yourself on, you know, you're trying to spread them out a little bit. There's also cards that once you've placed, let's say, let me think of a good one here. The spider, there's a spider's den thing. So you plop that down and you're like, I don't mind three spiders, but when there's four on that adjacent square, that's trouble for my guy at this stage. I'm not strong enough to do very well there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this other card that I've unlocked. It's like a crystal shard thing, or I forget, it's a sign or something. I can't remember. But you put that thing down, and any squares that it covers in its radius reduces the total amount of maximum enemies that can be on any given square that it's covering. Oh. So you can kind of mitigate the trouble. Like you're like, well, there's four spiders this time, and next time there'll only be three because you've said, hey, I don't want to do that. So you put this one down. If you have two of those cards, you can lay one of those on top of it or near it, and it will overlap and it will double the effect. So you might only have to fight two spiders in that area.
It's interesting because this is it almost is like a reverse tower defense where you're kind of putting in the attack spots, and you hate tower defense.
Wash that nasty word right out of your mouth, because I do hate I hate tower defense, but I wouldn't call that this at all.
You hate defending, but you don't mind on the offense.
Well, some of these, so look at it this way. None of them are towers, number one. Right. Number two, they have, the only effect is you're just basically saying,
there's a lot of towers that have no tower defense games that have no towers.
I suppose you could play this game and never lay down another hero, but you're never going to progress, an enemy, but you're never going to progress to the point that you can beat the bosses and stuff. That's just never going to happen for you. Because that eventually is a thing you're going to want to do. Now, as you can see, he's piling up these cards. You don't have to play them every round. You can keep them as long as you want, except that there's only so many that can fit down in that row. And eventually, if you get new cards and there are too many, it's like a marble on one end of the straw and a marble out the other end. You lose a card if you get a new card. That loot's the same way. The more loot you get into your bag, it'll start pooping them out the back end if you don't use them. And that's okay. You don't need to use them. Like, there's plenty. He's got three shields he's never going to use. That's fine. Let them burn. You don't care. But these aren't like...
So what happens to those shields? You said you just let them burn?
They just go away.
Just go away.
Yeah,
okay.
They just disappear. But they do it in order. So chronologically, you have the latest piece right there. He's hovering over the four. All right. Do I want level four? Yes, you do. He's the idiot. He didn't use it. But anyway, the point is there's all sorts of cards that do different effects and different things to the lanes. There's some that just speed up time. There's some that make it so called, but you can build like a thing just outside of your. Oh, there it is. Here's the vampire. You can build a vampire mansion.
Tower.
No, not a tower, just a mansion.
And not a tower, Brian.
Yeah, and that's building, where the vampire lives, and the vampire will come out, and he will fight alongside other stuff. Not always, but sometimes. Now, the value of that is he drops a lot of really great gear that siphons life from your enemies, and that's great, because that guy, he sucks, but when you beat him, you'll get like a sword. Vampire. You'll have a sword that'll be like plus 10 to vampirism, which will just suck people's life while you're fighting them. It's a great way to stay alive for longer. So there's all these little strategies you can use. Every game is different. It's never the same. And here's the important, well, not the important part, but here's a big part of it I haven't mentioned yet. Some of you on the video have seen or who are watching the video, this guy's completely effed this up, but it's okay. He didn't know. It's his first run through it.
I love that you pick the worst players ever for your videos.
I should have recorded.
I always just play mine.
This is one I should have recorded, but the problem is when I'm talking to a chat, I talk too much and the screen just sits there for too long. You know what I mean? Like I'm not actually making progress, so it's hard for this sort of presentation. But anyway, you can see they put all these little rock and mountain cards down at the bottom there. And on the other side, they put a bunch of meadow ones. That's a mistake. What you actually want to do is anything that's made of stone, try to put meadow next to it. Because when you do, you double the amount of meadow. Oh, he did a thing I've never done before. Maybe I'm the idiot.
Oh, wait, yeah. He's doing like this mountain. He's like doing stones around a mountain. Maybe he's got some kind of long-term plan that we're not aware of.
He's got some stackable thing I've not tried. But anyway, if you put those, if you do a mix and have those meadow ones over next to it, the meadows will give you double their material than they would by themselves because they're next to a mountain. And so they're more effective.
Right.
Now, these don't actually help you do anything in the fighting or the battle. This stuff out here on the periphery, and I don't know why he's doing it so separate. You can put him anywhere.
Yeah, but he looks like he's doing something intentional.
He may have a trick going here. I don't know. We're going to watch and see what he does with Meadows. He's putting a spider down, maybe. Let's see if he does it. Oh, yeah, you're not afraid, are you there, buddy?
He's not afraid at all. He's going
to
do it.
Anyway, as you can see, this thing's starting to fill up, and he's got worse and worse enemies he's having to deal with. And while he's putting all these pieces out into the world, those are creating a crap ton of resources for him. Those resources are important because if you die, you only get to take 30% of them with you back to your camp. If you make it all the way around to your little loop camp, you have the option with every loop to leave right then and take everything you've earned so far with you. Or go another time. You get to that point, you stop, and you're like, all right, am I going to keep going and try one more loop and not die and get more stuff? Also maybe risking losing 70% of my shit? Or am I going to stop here and take all my shit back with me?
It depends on
it depends on the run. Like if you're doing really good and you're like, you know what, I'm going for an eighth loop because look at my health. I'm doing solid. I've got some farms. I have some farms you can lay out that will give you health when you walk over them and stuff like that. But they also have like, what are they called? Crows. Scarecrow.
Scarecrow. What do you think? I can't think of the name of it, but they're known for scaring crows.
That's like my dumb comment I made that one time about freaking Chester Cheetah being a tiger. Anyway,
oh, that's hilarious. You're looking at me. It's got to be a tiger, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's in the name, Scott.
It is in the name. So literally, and I know people are hearing this and saying, this sounds like Tower Defense. It's not. I promise you, it's not.
I played for 14 minutes, and I did not get a Tower Defense. Jeremy, a friend of the show, sent me a game code for this, and I hooked it up, and I was going to play it for next week. But since Scott played this week, I'm still going to play it. I'm just not going to review it for
this week.
I will stream it. I'll probably stream it some this weekend.
You're gonna love it. The numbers go up. It's all those itches get scratched. You can't wait to do another round. Every game is fun and strategic and interesting. Oh, she's just running.
I like the fact that it finally gives me a reason. I'll tell you one thing that I hate, Scott. Yeah. I love hate.
Yeah.
I love hate inventory management. And this game just places the inventory management on always on. And you just are constantly comparing your equipment while your dude fights. So I kind of like that.
It's not. They keep it super simple. And basically, it's you can get really in the weeds if you want once in a while with a piece of armor and go, oh, plus two to this, but not to that. Oh, and you can really agonize over it if you want to. But for the most part, it's like, oh, this is a level six. Let's replace that level four. Like, it's a simple number choice.
Yeah.
But this is what's interesting. The warrior is the only one that really has to worry about it in real time anyway. Because when you unlock the rogue... The rogue collects trophies with every kill it does and no new gear on the loop. Because in the warrior's case, you can upgrade gear the whole time you're on your loop. In the case of the rogue, he's super powerful, but also a little weak when he gets hit. So it's a little more risk, right? Risk reward. But when he gets back to camp, he cashes in all those trophies and his bag suddenly goes and just fills up with loot. So you have this one time. This one time to choose new loot before he goes on his new loops. It's like one of his weird things.
They should have called it loop.
Loot looper.
Yeah, loot looper.
Yeah. The necromancer, the third class, has.
So you don't get to play as vampire at all?
No, you're never a vampire. You can wear gear that does vampire shit, but you can't. You're never a vampire, which is fine with me because I think vampires are stupid. But anyway, the point is. Let me get back to this resources thing. So you got this resources thing out there. There's a bunch of things to that that I haven't even gotten into. But the important thing is when you lay down meadows, it's almost like Magic the Gathering. You lay down meadows or mountains or rocks. These things add to your resource takeaway when you finish a loop and you decide to go home or you die and only take some of it with you. When you get back home, there's this whole other place that's like your town and you're building it. And it's really simple.
Oh.
It's not fancy or hard to deal with. You basically just say, we want a smelter. Now I have better weapons when I go. I want the kitchen or the food thing. And that gives you craftable food or bonus food. My favorite so far, some of it is you have to unlock them to even get the new classes. That's how you get the necromancer or the rogue. But some of it's like, I just want to start with three potions, life potions, that are automatically drained when I'm low enough in health, but they're just in my inventory now. So I have these like little incremental, think of it as your skill tree in between a roguelike session. It's the same idea, except you're actually building out this little grid of farm stuff and buildings and magic and alchemy and all that. And there's a ton of that. And I'm like 14, 15 hours into this thing and I'm barely there. I'm like just starting to scratch all that stuff. Anyway, the temptation to do all of that and then go right back in for another run, unbelievably intense. Like I cannot deny its pull on me right now. It's so freaking good.
The game loop of the Loop Hero is addicting.
Really strong.
It's got what I talk about a lot, which is flow, and it makes you just keep going. It's like, okay, move this here, move this. It's almost like playing a game of solitaire or something. It's just keep moving, move this here,
It does have that quality. And it's a single player game. I should mention that. It probably was obvious, but it's not meant for multiple people. But it gets to the point where, and playing those different classes, I've unlocked all three now, and all three play so differently. And it's just a fun way to try a different run, different risks, different rewards. But they all go back to the same. They're all, no matter who you're playing, they're not a separate tech tree. You play them, they have their advantages or disadvantages, but they all contribute their loot when you go home back to the same farm. So you're building out the same the same structure for everybody. So you can kind of swap back and forth. One thing I did forget to mention, like a lot of games like this, Slay the Spire or whatever, one of the things you do is you unlock runes or whatever a game may call them, what give you bonuses during the run you're on. So that could be... With every new loop, you have plus two to defense, or with every new loop, you have plus this to health, or every time you encounter a vampire, you suck 20% more life, or whatever these little benefits are. You earn those as you play, and up in the top of the screen, a little thing will proc and go, bling, time to choose a new one. So you just go up there and hit it and say, all right, well, I'm going to do this one. It's random. You never know what they're going to be. Sometimes one of the options is to refresh it and give me three new choices, that sort of thing. Anyway, I've barely scratched the surface here. If it sounds complicated, it's not. Once you get through the loop and you go, oh, I get it. This game grabs you and will not let you freaking go. I cannot believe how much I'm enjoying it. And it's my, I mean, again, we can't call it because it's too soon, but 2021 better have some cool shit under its hood, because this game is my game of the year so far. I've had more fun with this than anything I've played in a very long time. And again, we're talking, you know, this is not an early access game. This is out. This is a game you can play. You can play it on your Mac, play it on your PC. I hope this comes to other devices and consoles and stuff. Switch would be a wonderful place to play this. I think phones would be good too, because it's, you know, it's all mouse driven stuff. So it's not like it, you couldn't do that with touch.
Yeah, most of this drag and drop touch just.
Yeah. And the simplicity of the art design and the sound design is intentional, but also just works really well for it. Just gets out of the way of the gameplay, because that's what it feels like. It feels like it has this like light retro paint job on top of like a really massive gameplay component underneath. It's like a car. It's like spray painting your car and knowing that the spray paint is not that great, because who cares? It's just simple. But underneath is like a freaking Ferrari. Like, that's how it feels. Just so much gameplay in there.
The job done.
And I'm just in love with it. So you'll hear me bring this up from time to time. I apologize in advance.
Absolutely not. I know the people. I've seen a lot of people playing this. I have like 22 friends who already own the game. I got 14 friends who want this game. Mm-hmm. The game is on sale for $12.74 right now. Just get it.
Yeah, just get it. $12. And again, it's retro on purpose. It's not supposed to, this is not supposed to be, how do I put this? I mean, could they have made a game that had, I don't know, a more modern take on 3D graphics or something like that? Obviously, yes, everybody could, but that's not what matters in this game. And it's not ugly. It's just a aesthetic. And I happen to like it. I like the 8-bit era. I like pre-16-bit, even 16-bit era. I like all that stuff. And when it's done right, I appreciate it. The gameplay that's on display here, though, is just mind-bogglingly good. Now, this guy, by the way, so we're watching this video. He's in a bit of a pinch. You see how low his life is? He's having one of these moments.
He is really pushing the
envelope. He's going to probably, he would definitely die if he went for another loop after this, although he just got a big boost of damage. So drag that up, dude. Don't be an idiot. Oh, my gosh. He's killing me. But he has got a lot of stuff to fight. Now, there are these cards called Oblivion cards. And if things are getting rough for you, you can take an Oblivion card and wipe out a whole tile of either enemies or a building or whatever you want. And Oblivion tile.
The undo card.
Yeah, nope. You want that. Because if you're about to face off on all these like spider wads that he's got going, he way overstacks stuff. You're supposed to spread this stuff out. But he's about to hit a ton of spiders. He's probably going to die here. That's what's going to happen. Because he's just got too much.
Cycle is almost complete, though, right? That's how you complete an area, is when that lower bar, that sun cycle.
No, the sun's separate from everything. So the sun, the sun and cycle creates a day night thing. So every day new creatures spawn, but that doesn't coincide with a single loop. There's no timing with that. It's happening separately. And the difference can sometimes just be the layout of the loop means that the days are happening more frequently or less frequently than a loop does. But the important thing is if you run into a problem like this, you better have the gear for it or some way of dealing with it. He doesn't have any health potions, so he's kind of hosed here unless, let's see what he can do.
Maybe he knows the Lich personally and he's,
maybe. The thing he's really going to struggle with here is if he hits some bandits or something. And right now it looks like he's got, it's mostly spiders and goobers. He might be okay. This guy might make it.
Goobers.
He might make it just fine.
The slime goobers or something else? Is that
slime goobers?
Slime goobers.
The spiders. There's also a kind of goober that fights harder. Eventually, you can get the farms. So the farms give you a quest, and then the quest creatures are harder to beat, but they give you better loot. There's a bunch of stuff that just change up the game later on. But, you know, he's on his fifth loop here. Oh, he did it. He did an Oblivion card and wiped those spiders out. He did exactly what he should have done. So now. Yeah. He's only got one slime and he's back to camp and he's going to want to get out of here. If he decided to go on another loop, he's an insane person.
Yeah. He's really low on health, but you said that you restore some health on, your pass go.
You
right?
do. Yeah. So he just got another, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's okay. So you've got retreat or stay. Retreat with your stuff.
He was right. Look at that.
Yep. Build your hooch, build out your camp, go do it again, get stronger every time. I tried to fight the Lich twice, and I've still gotten beaten. I still haven't beaten that boss, but I'm getting there. It's just awesome.
Bitch.
I'm just so full of freaking excitement about this damn thing. And it's just like came out of nowhere. And once again, Devolver
I love it.
Makes great games and I just love it. All right, Brian, I've gone on too long. Scott. We're going to talk
no,
now about
haven't.
A game.
You've gone on just long enough in a loop over and over again.
That's right. We're going to talk about a game that I actually talked about here on the show before, but it was in way early access. So I'm excited to hear what you think about the now 1.0 Curse of the Dead Gods.
Curse of the Dead Gods finally got out of early access on February the 23rd, 2021, and I got a chance to take a look at it. It was on sale, I believe. I picked this one up for $15 on the Steam, but you can pick it up for just a few more hours on Newegg. What a weird place to buy it. Anyway.
Agreed.
You, as an adventurer in the pursuit of fortune, immortality, and power, enters a cave to the underworld, which leads you to the temples of three forgotten gods. Those are the curse of those dead gods. Dead and forgotten, apparently. Challenge accepted, Scott. Rogue-like progression with souls-like combat.
Yep.
Is how I would just, yep.
I would, damn call it, Perry. I would call it a combination of, it's like Hades, Slay the Spire, and Diablo.
Correct.
Got in the back of a car and had a little baby come out, is what happened.
Yes, they did. And you know what? They did a pretty good job. This is also top-down like Hades, and it has a cel-shaded aesthetic to it. Look, I dig how it looks. It's beautiful. The audio is pretty good. It's kind of forgettable because when I was trying to review it and I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, yeah, what do I think about the music? And I'm like, I can't really remember. I remember that it was well-polished and it felt right at the time, but I couldn't hum a few bars at all. Right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember much about it. And I also remembered that even the audio, like the characters that you fight against, your enemies, they screech and make wails, but they're all kind of similar. And so it was kind of, I kind of passed it away there. Anyway, yeah. What makes this game stand out from a lot of other roguelikes like Hades? Is the curses. So they have a system of corruption that leads to curses, which makes your runs more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you hate having difficult runs, Scott.
Oh, the worst kind of runs are the difficult runs.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the runs alone, just having the runs, that's a problem. But difficult runs? Oh, freaking
difficult runs is really the worst. Not a lot of choices for weapons here, even though there are kind of a lot of choices for weapons. But they're all kind of the same. You
know, they
kind
drop a lot of different weapons, but you're right. You kind of get the job done with a sword and a hammer. It's kind of the same.
Yeah, I mean, you have a hammer, and then you have a better hammer, and then you have an even cooler hammer, and you know, it's like. It's just varying degrees of what you're doing here. Now there's you know, range weapons and hammer type weapons. I like the whip. The whip is pretty cool. It's kind of like an in-between weapon. And then they have, you know, knives you can throw and swords and different levels of what you get. Just like in any roguelike, you're trying to make a run, die, go back with some things, upgrade your weapons, improve your weapons. Does this look like the same game that you played in early access last year?
100% this game, yeah. This is
okay, so they've probably just worked on refining it. A couple of factors.
Yeah, they didn't change. Really, when I played it, so I've also played the finished version. I always get notified when a game I've been playing in early access hits 1.0, so I've been playing it as well a little bit. And a lot of what they've done, I think, here is just balance and polish. It's just smoother, cooler looking experience. Graphically, it's very nice, as you mentioned. You just left some resources back there, but
I left a lot of resources. This gameplay, I did this early this morning, and So this game,
I like how you walk across those spikes. That was pretty fun to watch. I like.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. You have to. Okay, so you only have you have five chunks of stamina, and every time you make certain moves, you'll lose a chunk of stamina, and then you have to recover it later on. You can recover it by rolling at the right time away from your enemies, or just waiting a few seconds and it'll recover. But usually don't have that kind of time because you're usually under attack. In almost every level you approach, you're being under attack by different characters. Some are really powerful, some of them are not so much. But because the stamina is always in short supply, even an easy character, I found myself getting pissed because I would be like, I said I'm quitting. So I rage quit, Scott. I rage quit this game. At least three times.
Really?
Because it's Souls-like combat.
Very,
so I would
very
just like,
Souls-y, for sure. Souls-like, for sure. No question.
Very Souls-like. That parry, I just can't get it. They tell me that I can parry.
Yeah.
I randomly do.
I remember it took me, I don't know, four times to get the parry down. You're not wrong right. that it's hard. I did finally get it, but it's hard. The parry is difficult. But they wanted to. It's, like, that's what this game is. This game's about dodging at the right time, parrying at the right time,
right.
managing large groups of enemies, trying to have the best weapon, blah, blah, blah. It's all that stuff.
It is. So it is really good at what it does. I'm just not a very good. If I had have realized that the combat system was going to be so heavy Souls-like, I probably would have said, maybe I'll play it next time.
Yeah.
But but the thing is, there's enough things here that kept bringing me back. Even when I was getting frustrated with the combat, it's like, oh, I get to make so many choices. I get to choose my path as I go along. I can choose, I can choose a path weapon upgrade, or I can choose one with coins so I can buy better gear along the way. Of course, the only thing you really take back with you are things like there's crystal skulls. Not like the ones in the Indiana Jones movie.
No, that movie doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. It's bad.
No, not in this universe.
No.
Also, you get some jade rings and some favors that you can use. And those are all currencies you can take back to the underworld, which you die, which I visited a lot. In the underworld, you have altars. That's where you can pick up your weapons. You can choose to change the weapons out you currently have, which are the default weapons, which I think is just a gun and a knife and a torch.
Yeah, you can upgrade those and have a better set or a choice.
Right. Well, that's the thing. This is random choice. So you go through, you will unlock a weapon, and you don't just get that weapon. The weapon is then available in the chance pool that appears at the altar for you to swap out.
Yeah, it works like I don't know to compare this to. When I can tell, actually, I'm watching you play, and I can tell your biggest combat problem. I don't mean this in a mean way.
What I
mean is like you like to square off in front of your guy and pound away and hope he gets him.
Yes,
but you need to be like Hadesing this thing, because this is the one thing about it that is like Hades. The dodge mechanic is everything. It's all about just zip zap, beam bam boom. Alternate fire, switch over to the other weapon because that guy's on fire and he needs ice. And it's that kind of like, rock, paper, scissors sort of constant juggle that they want you to do.
Right.
But I think your style, I wouldn't blame you for this.
Your style you're seeing right now is a style of frustration, because I tried kiting, running around, trying to observe. Like the first thing I usually do with my play style is I would go into a room and I would first go on the outside perimeter of the room, check for places I could light up, because there is all these rooms are dark and you have a little bit of light on your weapons, but you can light up most areas with your torch, which is really important because when you put the torch away, it gets kind of dark and you can take greater damage according to curses.
Yeah, if you have a curse where damage is doubled because your enemies are in the light, that means that you just have to be strategic. The curses are interesting because they're more like Rogue Legacy genetic changes. Because the way Rogue Legacy worked is when you die, you would come back as one of your heirs, right? And your heir might be, this guy's blind, so you can only see 3 feet ahead of him or whatever, or this guy is upside down on everything, or he's dyslexic, or this guy's very old-fashioned, so everything looks like an old film strip from the 40s or whatever. It's like that. That's basically what curses are. They just happen in the game instead of ahead of the game. So when you're in playing and you go to a new zone, you touch the door and the door goes, there's some curse business. And then you may get a curse that is either harder or easier or better or worse or whatever. It's an interesting mechanic, the way they've done
it. It's one of the outstanding parts, because you might as well be playing like Hades or something otherwise. But the corruption system is really cool. You build up corruption. You can get hit by characters when you're fighting. That can increase your corruption. But then you also have corruption every time you go from one gate to the next in these temple runs. And if you get enough corruption, then you will, of course, have a curse placed upon you, and that makes the later game a lot harder, because you're working your way up to a boss fight every time through these paths that you choose. This game's a really complex game. I wasn't sure I would be able to describe it within our usual time, because there are a lot of aspects to this game.
Bunch of systems, I guess what I'm saying is if you played roguelikes before, at any regularity. They've mashed in like five of those. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
basically
they really it. Have. It's amazing gameplay, and I can see myself going back and playing. This is a game that you will get addicted to, I think, and play a good bit and then just never play again, because 27 hours is what I've seen how long to beat. This comes from developer Pastech Games, publisher Focus Home Interactive. Heard of those guys.
Yep.
And it is worth the $19.99 or $13.99. It's a great experience. And if you like the Souls-like combat system, you can really love this.
Well, this what am I trying to say? The Focus Home publisher.
Right.
They have so many games that I'm into this year. You know, I keep talking about Shipbreaker, but that's them. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got a lot of cool stuff going on right now. Yeah.
I like that. Curse of the Dead Gods
here's some sound from it. Here's the intro bit.
Another soul fouls my temple with every step. Tell me, pretender, can a man kill a god?
So what I like about that is it's very reminiscent of like a Diablo style dark fantasy take, and I'm a huge fan of that. So
yeah, this is definitely dark fantasy, and I wish the only thing that it seems to be lacking, in my opinion, was any type of story. I mean, you just start out as adventurer. You're like, you know, you got the nice big old mustache, and you're just entering a cave, and you're just going to go get some money, going to get some loot.
Yeah, I think there are
some things.
It's the one thing Hades, well, I shouldn't say it doesn't get credit for it. It gets tons of credit for this, but it's the one thing Hades should always be celebrated for, which is they figured out a way to put a really compelling, interesting storyline into a roguelike, and nobody does that. Like, it's rare and weird that they pulled that off, and this game doesn't try very hard in that department, for sure.
It feels just like an adventure movie, like of old, those serial.
Yeah, you're a dark wanderer, and you've been cursed, and now you're stuck in these tombs, and you got to figure out how to get out of there. Like, it's pretty basic.
And the tiering system of how you can get through each of the paths to get to the gods, because one of the things you do is you choose one of the three gods that you can take their little path, and that'll determine what enemies you're up against. Some are harder than others. I think I didn't have as much trouble in the god eagle.
Yeah, the eagle god.
Then I think I had more trouble in the serpent area, I believe, if I remember correctly. But some really interesting different characters to play against. And you got all those animations that once they're triggered, they don't stop until they're done. And so,
sorry, I'm watching you fight a trap that's not meant to be fought. It just keeps
falling. Yeah, see, that's the thing. See, some of the things you could fight, or you could blow up beforehand. Okay, so you're watching me play this. This is just for recording purposes, and I was trying to figure out maybe I was doing things wrong, because my original play style was to go in a room, do as much avoidance as I can, and just try to attack when I can.
Yeah.
And this time around, I was like, you know what? I tried that way. I'm just going to go balls out and just I'm just going to try to get up on everything and just see if it works. It didn't.
No, it doesn't work. But you'll get, any game, you play it long enough, you'll figure all that crap out. The Darkest Dungeon is a comparison I'm hearing in the chat.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
I agree. It's very, very reminiscent of that art style wise, and very cool if you like that sort of thing. I think the game's pretty rad. If I wasn't so addicted right now to Loop Hero, I'd probably be playing this more. Because this is normally kind of my jam, and I did play it a bunch right before Loop Hero happened. But
I would highly recommend, and I'm only going to give it. This is just a personal opinion score. This is just. I'm going to give it 7.5 curses out of 10. Son of a bitches, because
you got a little frustrated there, did you? Yeah.
I got frustrated, but that's like I said. I think if that's your jam, this game is polished. It is good.
Yeah,
it's polished. It is a good price. It's good polish.
Polished to a shine frustration right there.
Yes, a shining frustration.
Frustration. All right, well done. I don't know what I was trying to say there, so I'll not try.
Shining, and I will say some stuff like also the controller. I play with the controller. I don't even know if you can do it with a keyboard and mouse or not.
You can, but they recommend you. They recommend you use a controller if you can.
It worked well.
Yeah. It's on Switch also, right? I think.
I believe it's on the Switch as well. I think that's the only two places, though, PC and Switch, right? Am I incorrect?
I think you're right. Let me double check. Yes, it is on the Switch and reviewed quite well. Let's see.
Yes, it's doing quite well.
PC and Switch. Yep, that's it.
Oh, it looks like it's on the PS4 and the Xbox One. Yeah, so.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It's everywhere.
Everything. It's everything. It's everywhere you want to be. That's the theory. Okay.
That's the theory.
Curse of the Dead Gods. Mine again was Loop Hero, and both games are pretty damn good. So go check them out.
We've had a good week. We've had a good week.
Yep.
It's a meme, Mario.
Let's see if our good week holds up. We're able to guess each other's game. We take old games from the past and we present them to each other in audio form and try to think what the hell they are. For example, I got one from 2003.
Let's see.
It's a very popular game that year. And Brian, I'm going to ask you to try to tell me what you think this is, okay? So here's the file. Here's the link. Here's the thing. Here we go.
The shadow moved ominously across the land, dyeing the sky with blood and pounding the earth. Those who still have faith in justice and honor, valor and goodness call out his name. The ultimate superhero. The only one who can save the world from extinction. If he can't do it, no one.
Who, me?
Give me a hint. GameCube.
I was about to say, yeah, it started out a lot different than I thought once he... Oh, I don't know. That's a good one. I don't think I've... Is it like a Ratchet and Clank kind of game?
Well, I would say it ended up on everything. So when I say GameCube, that's where I played it, but it may have been everywhere. I'll give you another hint. It was a game from Capcom.
Capcom. Interesting.
Yeah. It's your Street Fighter company. That's not a hint, but that's just who it is.
It's not a hint. Street Fighter is not it, huh?
Nope.
Wow, I don't even know. I've never played this one, I don't think. At least not this version of it.
Chat room is all confused. They don't know either. I'm a little surprised because a lot of people think very highly of this particular...
When you say it, I'm sure going to be like, daggummit!
All right, I'll give you another hint. It was one of the first in a... Well, I don't know, one of the first. Felt like one of the first 2.5D platformers. And it was a bit of a beat-em-up. But it was like, hey, it's a 3D character, but moving on a 2D plane. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Scrolling to the left sort of thing.
That doesn't help at all. That actually makes it worse because I had something else in mind.
Well, chat, one per Trump poll in the chat got it. I will now put you out of your misery.
Do it. What we got?
Beautiful Joe.
Beautiful Joe. I don't even know what that is. What is that?
You don't remember this game, eh? So
I don't remember that at all.
It was a big hit. Beautiful Joe came out, like I mentioned, 2003. I'm going to pull up some info here.
Is it V?
Like Beautiful Joe. It's a stupid name, but, you know, Japanese translation stuff.
I didn't play this at all. I don't even know what this is.
They describe it as a side-scrolling beat-em-up video game franchise created by Japanese game designer Hideki Kamiya. I don't know how to say his name right. This is part of Capcom's subsidiary Clover Studio. And there was Beautiful Joe 2, came out in 2004, so a year later. And let's see, it's originally...
Wow, I have missed out on a whole franchise.
Yeah, it's a cool franchise. The guy, it's that dude's responsible to, mostly for like Resident Evil 2 and Devil May Cry and those games. So this was like a bit of an offshoot for him, a little bit different. Cel-shaded 2D, but 3D graphics. And I want to say GameCube started it. It was, yeah, GameCube originally was the sole platform, and then PlayStation 2 got a version... later, including the sequel. And there was also something called Beautiful Joe Red Hot Rumble in 05 and Beautiful Joe Double Trouble in 05. I do not know what those are. Never saw them. But and they haven't done shit since. So I think it'd be cool. I think it's time to resurrect Beautiful Joe.
This is cool. I've got to take a little dive into this. I've never, like I said, never, cool I don't game. Even remember this at all.
It's a very cool game. I remember loving it, but it was awesome.
Good pick.
I'm going to play yours now. Let's see if you can get it. Oh, yes.
Yeah, so okay, 1981.
That's a great big one for you. You were wrong. Now I expect to be right.
I failed.
81, you say? 81.
Jeez. 81. I went way back for this one. It was because of something I was watching that reminded me that I don't think I've ever done this game for the Boop Show.
All right. Let's give it a shot and see what we think. Oh. This is just straight up Defender.
Right.
Is this Defender?
You nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Defender. Yes. I know that game.
I knew it was risky because I was like, oh, either it'll be like one of those things that's all jumbled in your mind or you'll absolutely get it. Yeah. But which one was it?
I knew I'd get it right away because, oh, who made it? Williams made it, right?
Yes. It was in the, this is the arcade version.
Yeah. And that's the only good version. The rest of them, the home ones all suck. Right. But the cool thing about Defender was, how do I explain this? It was one of the first video games I can remember where you had multiple tasks and could focus on different things at your decision, meaning I got to pick up dudes or I got to kill these guys. Oh, one of them's running away with a dude. I got to stop him because if he gets the dude, I'm in trouble. Okay, drop the dude. Now I can go grab the dude. Like there was just like an open worldness to it in a weird way.
Right.
Ah, Defender's awesome, man. What a great game.
Hell now, I was trying to, I'm looking, the reason why I remembered or I thought about it is because I was reading some descriptive language.
Yeah.
Remember how Atari used to come with the cartridges? Atari was fantastic at making cover art for their cartridges. There was nothing like the game inside, but excited the imagination.
Oh, yeah.
And they usually came with like little booklets and stuff, and they described the game. It was not the game you played.
Right.
Right? I mean, it would just go into this big flowery description, and I'm having trouble finding it right now. Defender, 81, Atari.
Did you find it?
Description. I thought I had it pulled up, but I guess not. Anyway, they go into this whole description of what's going on and what's the backstory.
Yeah.
And it's just this really, really deep intel story that when you play the game, you're like, I don't see that.
Yeah, that was true. And the covers, like especially like the home covers of this stuff, they were so like overly realistic. And then you play the game and it's like three squares and a beep. It was like nothing. But those were great days I love video game. I have a whole book over there somewhere Ibba gave me for Christmas one year that is just nothing but like classic game art from those eras, like cartridge art.
Right.
So good. The only complaint I have about Defender is it controlled like garbage.
Oh, it was the worst.
It's horrible.
It was such a lag in movement too. It was like, it was bad,
but it was just weird. Like we were new to the vertical thing and we didn't know. So, you know, what do we know? We don't know.
Right.
So my take on that, don't shoot the guy, go pick him up. Oh, this guy's playing.
Don't shoot the guy. Okay. Here it is. I finally found some of the descriptive text, rescue the humanoids on archive.org. I knew they wouldn't fail me. Let's see. Earth friendship signals beamed into deep space beyond the Milky Way have attracted extraterrestrial beings. All right, but not the ones we expected. Uh-huh. Now wave after wave of warlike aliens from some unidentified solar. Did you play this game? Because that's not the game I played.
This is the game I played, but it didn't sound. I don't remember all that story. That story.
Right. So this is fun. If you ever go to archive.org and just look up the manuals for these Atari games, they did an amazing job of. Building your imagination.
Well, they had to, right? Like, what else were they going to do? They couldn't just say, crappy 2D graphics with the horrible sound effects. Enjoy. Like,
have fun, sucker.
Yeah. There's a new-ish, I should really review it on the show. I got a key for it and then sort of just got busy and forgot to do it. But there's a game that I got for PC that is basically a Defender clone that's pretty good. And you know what? I may do that. It just seemed to kind of like, cause since it's a Defender clone, there's not much to it. You just play like Defender.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, Defender's good. That machine ate more quarters than I care to remember. It was bad.
Now, the Atari version, I played like crazy. And one of the big goals in that game was to see if you could flip the score.
Yeah.
You know, and there was like, there was rumors that it would do something special. It did not.
It would crash.
I stayed up one night, all night, to flip the score.
Well, it's because we didn't have the internet to like tell us we were wasting our time, you know? Like,
right. You're wasting time, Brian.
Yeah.
Tell you defender all night.
Those were good days. Good times. All right. Time for this. Hey, what do we got here? It's correspondence. We got an email. This is from a listener. Oh, I didn't give myself a win there. There we go.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, thank you. all right, let's do, where the hell was I? Oh, yeah, we're going to do an email. This here is from a listener, sent this into boopshow@gmail.com. This is from Sean, a.k.a. Sirlan. Okay? Sirlan sounds like a, the boss.
Surly.
Sounds like a World of Warcraft raid boss I got to go fight. Anyway, hey, Scott and Dunaway, I heard you guys talking about old school roguelikes such as Adam and the like, the one that you just reviewed last week, in fact. They did a nice new patch today. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't seen the new patch, but I did hear about it.
Yeah, it's a nice stuff added in there, some quality of life things. Anyway, it says, if you guys have never played Dungeons of Dreadmoor, you are completely missing out. Oh, I've played it. We'll get to that in a second. It takes the complex gameplay of a game like Adam and combines it with absurdist humor, such as being able to be a mathematician class or a lumberjack. Magic is fueled by alcohol, and there's plenty of lutefisk going around, which is that weird, horrible, rotten fish. It is a very odd game. It should be pretty cheap by now. Does it have a lot of content. Hope you guys take a look and let me know what you think. Love the show as always. Sean. P.S. Look at Foxhole on Steam. Super crazy World War II game. All right. To your point
Foxhole.
About... What? Now? Who? When?
Look at my foxhole.
Oh, yeah. Look at my hole. Dungeons of Dreadmoor. It's so funny you sent this email because just last week I was trying to remember the name of it and download it and play it again. Because I loved that game when it came out. And you're right. It's nuts. It's a nut. It's for nuts. It's for weirdos and nutbags, that game. And they play with all these like fantasy tropes. And it is very funny. But it's also just got really good solid humor. Here's the weird thing. That thing came out in like 2011. So it's been a while.
Right.
And I thought, well, surely this developer who had this great idea and totally killed it with this game, surely they've got other stuff now. Nope. Only thing they ever made. Gone. Company doesn't exist anymore. Bums me the F out. But it's a cool game. And you can get it super cheap. And it plays on Steam just fine. Again, that game is called Dungeons of Dread.
$4.99 on Steam right now. I have 99 friends who already own this game.
Game's awesome. You should play it. It's legit. It's actually really good. Holds up. And I'm pissed they don't exist anymore. Because... they had ideas.
I'm angry.
And let me tell you, I like good ideas, Brian. I like ideas.
Good ideas are great.
Yeah, I like ideas, and I like them to be good, is what I'm getting at. So
clever.
More ideas. Yeah, really clever, right? I had to reach way down to get that one out of my pants. Anyway, hey, so that's that. We really enjoy your emails. Please keep those coming. Again, that email address is boopshow@gmail.com. And I'll check out that weird foxhole game. I haven't heard of that. You heard of that? Foxhole.
I have never heard of Foxhole. I did take a peek at it earlier when I read the email. Thanks for sending that, Sean. And it looks interesting.
Yeah, seems okay. I can't tell why he would be shouting that one out. I'm probably thinking
maybe just struck his fancy now.
Yeah,
struck their fancy.
Maybe
yeah,
struck you right in the fancy. Careful,
right
where,
in the fancy
where your fancy is, it might get struck. Anyway, fantastic stuff. Thank you for that once again. boopshow@gmail.com. Our website is frogpants.com/BOOP. You can give me and Brian a Twitch follow if you want to. I'm at Frogpants. Brian's at Brian Dunaway. And look, if you're not watching the show live, that's a thing you can do too. You can tune in live on Tuesdays at 3:30 Mountain Time, 5:30 Eastern, and listen to us live. Or you can just keep checking the podcast out. Whatever you like. It's on you. We're on Twitter at Boop Show. Brian, anything brilliant to say before we go today?
Tune in Thursday when Brian plays Graveyard Keeper at 5:30 Eastern Time with Kid London, who is going to Sherpa me on through.
That sounds great. Everyone needs a good Sherpa. Until next week, be your own best Sherpa, and we'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Activate Pac-Man.